is what we're made of. You and me made it this far. Love this city. Who can blame us? For one for you had my heart.
I was waiting to see if this was a specifically Milwaukee song, Rhea. What is the name of this song?
It is called 414. By Grace Webber and then featuring Moody, and I'm in the music video.
You're in the music video. Are you dancing?
I am dancing. It's a little bit.
Can we set this up so people can tuck and text line in and see you dancing in this 414 day?
Yeah, we'll see.
I want to see it at least after the show.
Okay. All right, it is indeed 414 day, Milwaukee's official holiday celebrating all things Brew City. You know, we have special food, drink, and merch promotions all happening all over the city. There's a lot of play on $4.14. You can get into a lot of, like, I think the Domes is off as a $4.14. I know different people have different subscriptions you can get. You know, if it was $5 and now it's $4.14. There's a lot of different things going on. But joining us on the phone right now is Elizabeth Littinen from the WTMJ newsroom. She's been out and about all day finding different things. Elizabeth, where are you right now?
Hi. I'm down at the Deer District. There's the 414 day festival happening from 2 to 8 down here. And it's just starting to ramp up. The energy is really good. There's vendors, food, clothes. There's basketball. We have the Milwaukee Hitters playing. They're a community drum group, and they're playing from pretty much all night. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
The Milwaukee Hitters. They're a drum group?
Yeah, they're a drum group. They've got high school kids. They've got community members. And, yeah, they were kicking it off, and then I think they're going to start playing in just a few minutes here. Maybe you'll be able to hear them.
Okay. Are the Dancing Grannies going to be making an appearance at all, you think?
I am not sure about the Dancing Grannies, actually. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
I would hope so.
And then for is the basketball hoop, is there actually organized, like, a game of horse happening, maybe a game of lightning, or is it just kind of the balls are out there for anyone to go out and shoot around if they want?
I think it's like a shoot-around. But there's some sort of, like, organized game happening in a little bit here, but for now it's just a shoot-around, and it's exciting to see.
Well, maybe I need to ask Brandon Snyder to meet me out there so I can officially prove that I can beat him in horse. But is it pretty packed? What's the weather? Because we got a pretty good weather today, huh?
Yeah, it's gorgeous outside, just windy, super windy, but pretty warm, sunny. Not packed yet, but more and more people are showing up by the minute, so that's exciting. I'm seeing families, I'm seeing, you know, different people of all ages, really. I mean, it seems like there's something for everyone, so that's exciting.
What kind of food options do you see?
I'm seeing some barbecue, I'm seeing some, like, ice cream, I'm seeing some treats. Some of the restaurants seem to be opening up, so that's exciting. Just a bunch of different stuff.
Perfect. All right. And then earlier today, there was a fashion show inside the 3rd Street Market Hall. What was that about?
Yeah, there sure was. So that was the MCTS fashion show to show off their new merch line. The models were exclusively MCTS employees.
So this is the transit line. This is like the transit line came out with merch.
Yes, the Milwaukee County Transit System came out with their first line of merch ever. It was designed by Brianne Miller. She's the graphic designer of MCTS, and she's been there for about 6 years. It's also the 50-year anniversary of the Milwaukee County Transit System, so they thought this was the perfect time to do that.
Very cool. Is there anything that sparked your, caught your attention that you're like, maybe I would buy that?
I would buy their crew necks. They have some really, okay, really good crew necks here. They use the bus to make the letter A in Milwaukee. It's pretty good stuff. It's available online now, I think.
Okay, and so was it a full-blown fashion show? Was there, like, music and a runway and models?
Oh, yeah, no, big stage. County Executive David Crowley modeled some
merch. Did he pose his best Zoolander?
He did poses.
Blue
they
Steel?
All had their own... yeah, they all had their own song picked out, and, yeah, there was probably, like, 20 models, too.
Anyone else you recognize besides David Crowley?
No, I think everyone else is an MCTS employee.
Oh, okay, so less recognizable. But all right, anything else after Deer District that you're going to go check out?
I mean, Deer District, I think, is going to take up most of my afternoon here. It seems like there's a lot to see and do. So
very excited. Well, have fun. Can't wait to see what you report back with.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. From the WTMJ newsroom, Elizabeth Littinen. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the origin of Milwaukee. Well, if it's true, Milwaukee Magazine a couple years back published the history of 414 Day. And it's a lot more random and simple than you maybe think it is. And then I'm going to talk about why I love Milwaukee so much and maybe read a couple of your texts. So if you want to text in why you love Milwaukee, 855-616-1620, citing unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. We'll be back after this. Rhea, you and I should do a, we should reenact this.
I have to Laverne like, and catch Shirley. Up on what the show actually is, but yes, I would love to.
You don't
to.
Know what Laverne and Shirley's about?
I know now because of our show, but I did not know before this.
That doesn't surprise me. Because did you grow up watching Nick at Night at all?
I did, but it was right before, like, my time was like The Cosby Show and, like, George Lopez.
They put George Lopez on Nick at Night?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember the first time I checked in on, because I grew up watching Nick at Night, and it was Mary Tyler Moore Show, it was Dick Van Dyke, it was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, and those feel like a bigger time gap. Like, my childhood in the 90s and those shows feel like a bigger gap to as a throwback than your age and the George Lopez show.
Yeah. I mean, George Lopez was like closer to me in my late teens. That's
yeah,
where I got
that
Lowrider.
Doesn't feel like an old show.
Yeah.
Compared to 50s and 60s, I Love Lucy playing like, in the 90s.
They also had Cheers and Roseanne.
Yeah, all 80s and 90s shows.
Yeah, that was my
I remember
Nick
watching Night. Yeah, I remember seeing Fresh Prince on Nick at Night. I was like, wait, what? Or whatever the channel was they spun off when it was not just Nick at Night anymore. It was actually a full if its own channel. But yes, I've always wanted to do some kind of like remake, not remake, or find some kind of sketch comedy thing to do with Laverne and Shirley. One, because that's a great song, and two, obviously it takes place in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's very ripe for some comedy throwback. But it's 414 day, so that's why Rhea was playing that song. And I looked up because obviously we're going to be here, so I was not going to be able to partake in many 414 day activities, and I didn't get to do anything yesterday either. But I wanted to look up the history, and this was in Milwaukee Magazine a couple years back, and so I'm guessing this was in 2021. So I'm guessing it's accurate and that they did their due diligence, but it's basically texting between two brothers. So it was early in spring, obviously, and it was in 2009. And there was a guy named Andy Silverman who was just texting with his friends about making 414 day into a thing. And so the following year, they filmed a silly video explaining how to celebrate 414 day, which then obviously became known as Milwaukee Day. And then that made it onto the news. And so they thought maybe we should start having real events and make it into a real holiday. And it kind of just went from there. And then eventually by 2012, they asked then Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett to officially proclaim April 14th as Milwaukee Day, and he obliged. And then, similarly, in the same fashion, then County Executive Chris Abele later issued a proclamation designating April 14th as Milwaukee Day as a county. And here we go. So now we have the large 414 flag that gets flown outside of City Hall all week. We obviously have tons of different activities and promotions that we've been talking about. I know just scrolling through here right now, there's free bubbler bikes today. It's $4.14 Harley Davidson museum tickets, similar at this if you want to buy the historic Milwaukee neighborhood posters, those are only $4.14 today. Helicopter tours are 14% off day, so everyone really gets involved in celebrating this holiday. And I feel like I always get a little, I don't know if emotional is the right word, but my anniversary of moving to Milwaukee is October 10th, 2020. Like, I got back to Wisconsin March of 2020, did not really make the decision that I was going to definitely move back permanently to Wisconsin until that summer. And even then it was like, is it Madison or Milwaukee? Then I just had this inclination that it needed to be Milwaukee and moved here officially October 10th. And in those, that 4.5 years, I have the best career I've ever had. I met the love of my life and got married. I own a home, which I never thought I was going to be able to do after living in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York City. And so, well, I don't own it. The bank owns it, but I have a mortgage. So we'll go with that. Obviously, I have my daughter, but it's just, for me, I am so attached to Milwaukee because on moving here, my life has only gotten better and better every year as far as the people I get to work with, the work I get to do, the people I am friends with, and the way that they show up, and the community I have in Milwaukee. And I think that's testament to the people of Wisconsin and the people in Milwaukee. That after living in such big cities where there is a rat race and you feel transient and you don't really feel like you're a part of something, being here, getting to work on this radio station, like I certainly feel like I have been embedded into the community and the culture of this place, and I'm so proud to be here, and I really have no plans on ever leaving. So that's why I love 414 Day. And now, news. Welcome back to Spanning the State. I am Kristen Bry, and you may have heard of a certain section at Lambeau Field called Section Yellow, because for alcoholics, being sober at a sporting event can feel impossible, especially at a Packers game, for anyone who's gotten to go to a Packers game. But Section Yellow, which is not so new anymore, was created by sober Packers fans for sober Packers fans. And now it sounds like they have some NFL draft update. And so joining us now on the phone is founder of Section Yellow, John Plageman. Welcome to the show, John.
Hello. Hello. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So I guess if people are unfamiliar, despite all the press that you guys have gotten over the last couple of years, remind us what Section Yellow is.
Sure. So in 2019, we approached the Packers to have a very simple, a table, two chairs, and two people that have been sober for a long time or are in recovery or are supportive of people who are sober, and we call them sober allies. And we're just at the game just to have a presence there to make it more comfortable for people that are coming to the game for the first time, for the 100th time, who are either newly sober or have been sober for a long time. I've had some friends who will absolutely not go to big diehard Packer fans that will not go to Lambeau Field because of their sobriety and the trigger that it could cause of being at Lambeau.
So as far as 2019, it's now 2025, and what are some of the ways you guys have grown since that first season?
So the relationship we have with the Packers have been amazing. We approach them every year and see how we can take another step. So now we've grown from a table to we also have a kiosk. So that's cool in winter games because we get the wind to block us from those cold temperatures because it is freezing in the concourse than it is out in the bowl when you have body heat to keep each other warm. So we have a kiosk. We have a table. We also give out water the first two cases. That was pretty cool. The Packers and their vendor donate two cases of water so we can at least hand that out. And we also have the fourth quarter, which, you know, there's no alcohol served during the fourth quarter, so we call that Section Yellow's quarter. And we give out yellow balloons to everybody that comes up to the table. And then at the beginning of the fourth quarter, you start seeing yellow balloons slowly bounce around Lambeau Field, and that's kind of a new tradition at Lambeau, and that's a silent statement of somebody going, I'm sober, I'm here in 80,000 people, and there's somebody sober here, and then you see you're not alone with all the other balloons going around.
Absolutely. And in any given game, how many people do you think come up to the kiosk?
We have about 50 sober fans that are either know of us and are on our Facebook group and know that we're there and come up to the table, just kind of touch base and take some pictures and stuff. And then the coolest part about volunteering and working the table is we have people that just stumble upon us that are newly in recovery or have been sober for like 30 years, and this is the first time them hearing about us.
Very cool. All right, so obviously we're on the countdown, 10 days until the draft is coming to Green Bay, and you have some big news. What do you guys have planned for the draft while they're there?
It gives me goosebumps to even be a part of the NFL draft. I mean, that we actually have...
Did you ever think, as a Brown County resident, that the draft would be coming to Green Bay?
No, but this is huge because this is our Super Bowl, and this can open up for bigger events like maybe a music festival. If it's not the Super Bowl, there could be some big stuff going on in Green Bay and in the state of Wisconsin. So we approached, and with the help of the Green Bay Packers, we approached the NFL, and they were all jazzed up about this. They, ironically enough, and this isn't a surprise, they never thought about addressing the sober fans. Remember, we're a fan experience. So we want to give the fans just as amount of, you know, energy and support and just good vibes that we can. So when we approach them about the draft, they're like, wow, we never thought of that. This could be a new template for future drafts to have this type of environment there. So we still have our table in the concourse because, as you know, and maybe you don't, the concourse will be open during the draft. Part of the bowl will be open during the draft, not the whole bowl. I believe it will be the north, at least the northwest or the northeast side. And then we have a tent.
Oh.
We have a big, huge tent. We have an area of 20 by 40 that's a little sober oasis in the sea of beer and booze, you know. And we have I think it's 16 by 16 tent where we'll have a TV in there. We got some yard games. We're going to bring cribbage. You know, we're going to bring our Wisconsin games there. And it's interesting because this is kind of a sober hub.
Yeah.
And I have volunteers from all over the state coming. It's like a pilgrimage of service for people to come and volunteer 3 to 4 hours at the draft.
Oh, that is so cool. So it's basically just a touch point for anyone who's coming to the draft, be able to check in, meet some other sober people, have other things to do besides drink.
Yes. So, like with me, I plan on going to the draft on Thursday night. And, you know, unless you're really up front and you have the VIP $3,000 tickets or you know somebody that knows somebody, you're going to be in the way back. So if I'm in the back with the regular folks, there's going to be a lot of drinking there. And,
yeah.
You know, there may be a time where I just don't want to be around that anymore. So you know what? I got a spot. I can go back to the tent, chill out, be around other sober people, and just relax. And the cool part is at 4 p.m. every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are going to have a gratitude meeting, which is an open meeting. It's not an AA or Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous thing. It's just a general gratitude meeting of people that can just share what their feelings are, what their experiences. And it's cool to be around this big group because they do this at the concerts during set breaks. That's what I learned from it. And you really get to see how people can just share from their words and their emotions of what's going on with them.
Well, that is so cool. So if people want more information, well, I guess where is the tent going to be located for anyone who's planning on going?
Perfect. Between the Bellin and Quick Trip Gate. So once again, I believe that is the northwest side.
Okay.
Of the stadium on Ridge and Lombardi. So we'll be right between the Bellin and Quick Trip Gate.
All right. Are you going to have the yellow balloons as decoration so people can find
you?
No,
we can't. We don't do the yellow balloons in the concourse because when they blow up, they sound like an explosive.
Got it.
But
okay.
Outside, yes. Yes.
Okay.
You will see a lot of yellow balloons. And here's the interesting thing. We gave like preliminary designs to the NFL, which they have a partner in California that they use to set up all this stuff. We don't know what it looks like yet, but it's supposed to be, you know, pretty slick. It's supposed to be pretty interesting of what this is going to look like. So what I've heard from the people is you will not miss it.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Where can people get more information, both about Section Yellow during the season or in the upcoming NFL draft festivities?
Wonderful, Kristen. So they can always go to Facebook. We have a Facebook Section Yellow group. We also have a Sober Green Bay page. I also made a Sober NFL Facebook page. You can also go to sectionsober.com or one of our new partners, recovery.com, out of Madison. And they'll have all the information and lead you where you need to go to get in touch with us.
All right. Sounds great. I'm so excited to hear how it goes.
Yeah, very cool.
Thanks so much for joining us today, John.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. You take care, Kristen.
Absolutely. Have fun next week. John Plagman is the founder of Section Yellow, which is the sober group for sober Packer fans at Lambeau. And when we come back, we'll do more. All right. So over the weekend, not that anyone in Wisconsin, well, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if many people from Wisconsin traveled to the first weekend of Coachella. It was the first weekend of Coachella. I, despite having lived in California for as long as I did, have never been to Coachella. I've also never been to Burning Man. And now I don't think I'll probably ever do either. There was a hot second I really thought I would do Burning Man, like when I was like just a couple times, like 18 years old, I almost went, which would have been wild. I think 22, 23, I almost went. And then now at this point, I think it's my time has passed for doing those things. But Bernie Sanders showed up at Coachella, and it got me. He addressed the crowd. I don't even know who this artist is. Who's Rhea? Do you know who Claro is?
Yeah.
Claro, is she?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but yeah.
Should I know who she is? Is she pretty popular?
Like right now, I can't name a song, but you would know if you heard it.
So he showed up, and he's, I don't know, I haven't heard his speech yet, but I was trying to think as far as Summerfest goes. Like, if Bernie were to show up at Summerfest, like, which, would he go in, like, the amphitheater? Like, it's just, it's such a weird, it's a weird move. It's like a very different vibe, I would say, despite having, because I think he was in Los Angeles. He and AOC were in Los Angeles, and they had another really big turnout for a rally. But I feel like to show up before a music, like music thing, is be like, "Hello, we gotta fight the oligarchy."
It's on brand. He's like, for the youth,
I guess. But as I was trying to think of, like, what politicians would we want to see in front of Summerfest? But it's also, Summerfest is just such a different
vibe
than Coachella. Even despite having never been there, I have enough friends and I have seen enough pictures that it's interesting to think of Summerfest as just never being that. It's not Bonnaroo. It's not Coachella. It's not even Lollapalooza. Or any of these, you know, sought after, very expensive festivals. But you had some thoughts on this.
Yeah. I mean, well, if I had a politician to come, I would love Bernie to come.
Would you?
Yeah. I would. If I knew he was going, he would probably draw me out to go to
Summerfest. Would you have gone? Did you want to go to when he was here recently in Kenosha?
So that's a little too far. I had to plan that out. And I was like, all right. And
you're then, like, I'll go if he's going to be at Summerfest.
He's in my backyard. Like,
I'm from Racine, but going to Kenosha, it's too far. Too far. God.
But yeah, if he came or AOC came or even Kamala or Crockett came, I would love to see them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But what were your takeaways as far as thinking about Coachella as compared to Summerfest?
It's so blown up and there's so many influencers there. And I just wonder, like, if it's based on the headliner. I know I've talked to you before about me not going to Summerfest. And it's for me, it's like whoever's performing is just not big enough to get me outside.
I think we're learning more about you and your homebodiness more than anything as far as a indictment on Summerfest. Is there anyone coming this summer for Summerfest that you're excited about?
There were a few, but like if I'm booked to perform, I'll go. If I'm not booked to perform, I'll
dance.
Think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But just regardless of how cheap it is, relatively cheap,
yeah.
Right? It is. I mean, even tickets to the amphitheater shows are so wildly more affordable than I was reading about this. The fact that so many people are on payment plans in order to go to festivals now is wild. So basically the majority of 2025 Coachella general admission attendees used a payment plan to attend. This is according to a Billboard report. Recession indicator? Maybe,
yeah.
you know, evidence of bad financial literacy. Definitely. But yeah, because it's basically the 3-day general admissions pass starts for Coachella at $649.
See, no.
And that does not even, and it's gone up every year. So the same pass cost $429 in 2020, $375 in 2015. And so that doesn't include lodging or transportation or food or your outfits or any of the other extracurriculars that you plan on doing. Like, it's just ticket to entry. And that's where it starts. And I agree. Like, it's like you probably can see a lot of these people just throughout the year, or some of them you can come pay like $20. It's no, I don't know. But like, that's the thing. And that's like, it's so different than Summerfest because Summerfest. The joke is, if you can't get a free Summerfest ticket, are you really from Milwaukee? Because there's so many different opportunities to get a free ticket, at least for the general admission to walk around. Mm-hmm. Obviously, for the amphitheater, it's different. But it's just such on the other extreme than these super expensive, highly sought after festivals. And it is interesting because when you live elsewhere, so many people in this country have never heard of Summerfest and wouldn't think about traveling here for it.
See, but I would pay that much to go to a Coachella or ACL or Lollapalooza.
Would you?
Yeah, because I know I'm going to see multiple artists that I'm interested in. All in one or all within one weekend. So I would budget enough or maybe do a payment plan. I'm not opposed to it. But to go see that because it's going to be the full weekend and I would enjoy it. But for me, Summerfest, there's not enough draw from the artists that are there. And I think that's the one thing that separates Summerfest from these major music festivals.
Is who we're getting.
Who we're getting.
Yeah. It's also just set up because no one's camping at Summerfest.
No.
They're camping at State Fair, though.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, don't go on a payment plan. Just save up. Yes, I mean, don't be that person.
I would never be out there that way. But if I had to, I would.
All right. We got to do this, and then we'll come back and start wrapping it up on Spanning the State.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
All right. We got to go. Afternoon News is next. We'll be here tomorrow for our last show of Spanning the State, because if you've missed it, as of Wednesday, the 16th, there is going to be a new lineup. I will be on with Steve Scafidi from 10 to noon every day for a new show called Point Taken, and Spanning the State will be going away. So tomorrow's our last day. It's crazy. All right, but for now, we got to pass the torch to John and Julia for Wisconsin's Afternoon News. See ya.